the Trump administration plans to make changes to a federal program that provides permanent housing for people who are homeless and instead prioritize short-term housing coupled with work requirements or addiction treatments.
In November, the Department of Housing and Urban Development announced its new plan for the program called Continuum of Care, slashing support for permanent housing programs by more than half. Wisconsin then joined a multi-state lawsuit challenging those cuts.
Then, on Monday, HUD put its changes on hold just before a court hearing in that case, but promised it would issue a revised plan soon.
The agency said it wants to make money available to grantees with measurable results, but that it was still committed to making, quote, long overdue reforms to its homelessness assistance programs.
To learn more about this program and what potential cuts would mean, we're joined by David Nelson, chair of the board of directors of the Milwaukee Coalition on Housing and Homelessness. David, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me today.
And Tim Bach is here, president and CEO of Pathfinders. It's a nonprofit in Milwaukee providing emergency or transitional housing to Milwaukee youth and young adults. Tim, welcome.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
David, starting with you, as you head up a coalition that works with Milwaukee agencies that receive this federal continuum of care funding, how would cuts to this program affect the shelters and the organizations your coalition works with in Milwaukee?
We receive currently about $15 million in our city and our coalition to help people that are on the streets and people who are at risk for being on the streets in a variety of circumstances and identities. And there's currently, it's not enough money, all right? And I'll say that if there are cuts to the program and the way that that program is being administered, it's going to put a serious dent in how we continue to attack this issue.
What might be one of the things that goes away?
Well, one of the things that the current administration is planning on is that they're moving away from a housing first model. And a housing first model says that we provide supportive housing for people first and then give people choice and dignity in the services that they need to become positive citizens again, rather than being unhoused. And the other thing that it will do is that it will decrease the amount of permanent supportive housing. And in other words, it will be a time-limited feature for people. And we all want people to be positive citizens in our community, yet we know that it's not one size fits all people.
Tim, your organization, Pathfinders, also receives this funding. How would these funding cuts affect your youth that you serve?
Well, we are certainly very concerned with the impact on our entire system and likewise on our entire state. I mean, this is a pretty dramatic shift that HUD is proposing in its most recent notice of funding opportunity. And as David noted, it shifts what is currently the majority of funds in our community and really across the country from being categorized as permanent supportive housing into very time-limited and restricted housing. Right now, about 90% of projects that are funded under the HUD NOFL, the Notice of Funding Opportunity, do provide permanent supportive housing. And as David also noted, that is housing with supportive services as a key component of why that housing is successful. And it moves that permanent supportive housing to no more than 30% of allowable projects, which is a significant shift in very short order that will have dramatic impacts on the number of people that can be served. And as importantly, with HUD's current definition of homelessness, what defines somebody as eligible for support under a continuum of care funded project, that eligibility criteria will in effect make most people who are currently in permanent supportive housing ineligible for the transitional housing that HUD expects to take its place. And so that could lead to dramatic numbers of people currently housed losing their housing and being ineligible for support as the projects try to move into a more temporary transitional model, should the regulations that HUD is proposing actually be allowed to be implemented.
Why, Tim, is housing so critical for the young adults that you work with in Pathfinders? Why is housing such a key piece?
Yeah, that's a great question. We believe in terms of the lifelong homelessness and housing instability that many older adults experience, we believe, had there been proper resources and support provided early on, that there's this window of opportunity to stop that trajectory and that lifelong experience of homelessness. You know, many people who are currently in HUD-funded programs are what is called chronically homeless. And that means really a defined period of time, and often that is many, many years of housing instability and homelessness that people experience. We have an opportunity to intervene earlier, and as David mentioned, to do more upstream prevention work to really change that narrative for folks. You know, about half of the young people that we currently serve in our supported housing portfolio programs here in Pathfinders are actually head of household, and they are parents of young children. Mm. And so there is an intergenerational aspect of homelessness and housing instability that also needs to be taken into account. And I think there is, for us, this opportunity to intervene earlier and to do more upstream prevention so that we don't wait for people to be older adults and still experiencing homelessness and often trying to survive on the streets.
Trying to stop that cycle early on in their lives. Tim Bach is with us, CEO of a youth homeless shelter in Milwaukee County called Pathfinders. David Nelson here, chair of the board of directors of the Milwaukee Coalition on Housing and Homelessness. David, how effective has this Housing First policy model been in addressing this issue in Milwaukee and elsewhere in the state?
When you have stable housing, you can have more likely have better healthcare access, access to education, community connections, and economic status. So it builds on one another. And so our community, the Milwaukee area, and the state of Wisconsin has adopted Housing First as the evidence-based strategy in order to prevent people from returning to homelessness. And I've looked at the literature on this, and the literature is unequivocally clear that Housing First does work. You know, the challenge that we're faced with around homelessness is it's not necessarily a binary. So in other words, it's not a yes or no, but it lives on a continuum from people who are unhoused, people who are living in places that are not fit for habitation, to people who are at risk for being unhoused. And there's a variety of factors that go into that. And so the idea that you can just provide the idea of a limited housing means that you might not be able to address other social issues and personal issues that people have. What we're afraid of is this a revolving door of people returning to homelessness after a short time in housing.
And you know, critics have said that this Housing First model has failed to address the rising death rates among people who are homeless and have, for instance, fentanyl addictions. Has this policy approach failed at its goal of getting people housed when they do have other issues in their life?
You know, if we want to talk about policies, the policies that have been put forth by previous administrations has not really lent itself to supporting a complete end to homelessness. And of course, it's our goal. But the idea that we're going to end this when we know that we don't have enough mental health providers, we don't have enough places for people with serious mental illness to go, as well as treatment centers for people to thrive. We have plenty of cases in Milwaukee and plenty of examples of people who have done well, who have beaten addictions. But at the same time, the insidious nature of addiction means that it is also a demand issue. And so the idea that we're going to end a demand for substances is not only short-sighted, but it misses an opportunity to make a difference like we have been doing in our city.
Tim, you've described current funding levels for youth homeless shelters as being historically underfunded. Is this underfunding a failure at the federal level? Is it a state of Wisconsin not providing enough funding here? Where is the core of the issue?
That's an important question. I think for myself, it's a both and. We have long advocated for increased federal funding that targets, in particular, runaway and homeless adolescents, as well as youth transitioning into adulthood. Similarly, we have worked at a more local level here in the state, particularly with the governor and his staff, to really help the legislature understand the importance of early investment in resources to prevent and end youth and young adult homelessness. And when we look at the funding here in the state as compared to the states surrounding Wisconsin, the difference is stark in terms of the lack of investment that we've been willing to make in order to ensure that more youth and young adults have improved access to housing with support. You know, the reality is homelessness is primarily caused by a lack of affordable housing. And when we talk about affordable housing, we have to talk about more housing that is more affordable for more people. And that's not a situation that is unique to Milwaukee. In fact, some of the highest rates of inaffordable housing occur in other parts of our state. And so, you know, we have to address the need for more affordable housing that is safe and accessible to folks so that once they receive housing, to David's earlier point, they are much better positioned to succeed in addressing their other unmet needs, whether that's getting and maintaining employment, securing a living wage, getting their education completed, becoming good present parents, addressing their emotional and behavioral and medical needs. Those are all things that become much more possible with the services that accompany housing, but housing needs to come and be secured in advance so that those other needs can be better met.
I want to speak a little bit, if I can, to what Tim said there, the idea that flexible funding, which we have the ability to make decisions that is in the best need of our community, is really important. And I would add, not only do we need affordable housing, but we need safe and stable housing for people, especially for those youth that are in those developmental stages of their development so that they can get a quality education, that they can move to higher education or move into training, if you will. And so for this funding to be decreased, to be cut, it really is going to mean that there's going to be more people at risk, not in the short term, perhaps, because we have a pretty strong network. But over the long term, next 3 to 5 years, we have a concern about what will happen to the numbers of people that will be out on the streets.
Well, Tim and David, thank you for helping us come closer to this issue. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
My pleasure.
David Nelson is chair of the board of directors of the Milwaukee Coalition on Housing and Homelessness. And Tim Bach is president and CEO of Pathfinders. That's a nonprofit that provides housing and clinical services to around 1,000 Milwaukee youth and young adults every year. We've been talking about potential changes to federal grants that target homelessness and what it could mean for Wisconsin services.